This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And how we doing? 3 days into this new year. How we all feeling? Got some optimism to paint on that face?
Hi, this is Lauren from Massachusetts. I would say fake it till you make it. Optimism's like a habit. If you force yourself to laugh and smile and look on the bright side, it'll eventually become your state of mind.
Lauren fakes it till it's real. All right, Lauren. Lyndon from Stillwater, Oklahoma, reaches for the wonder. I seldom have to force myself to be optimistic, he writes. The world is filled with wonder. I'm only here for a minuscule blip of time compared to the age of the Earth or universe, as far as that goes. I want to spend my blip in a positive way. Well, we're glad you've chosen to spend your blip with us here at The Takeaway. We've got about an hour-long blip together, all of us. And later this hour, we'll talk about optimism, where it comes from. Are you naturally optimistic or more naturally guarded, and why? Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Take the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. He's still the Speaker, reelected yesterday, no matter what the problems were last year. Still the Speaker. Reason for optimism there, John Boehner?
The American dream is in peril, so long as its namesake is weighed down by this anchor of debt.
So grumpy. And even with that fine, fine tan. All right, maybe not. Maybe no optimism there for the Speaker. Whether this Congress gets anything done, though, may have something to do with the new optimistic faces in the lower ranks. Total of 101 women in this Congress, including a record-breaking 20 women in the Senate, 43 African-Americans, 31 Latinos, 12 Asian-Americans, and 7 openly gay or bisexual members. Todd Zwillick, who's optimistic up there on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, that song at the top, John, was called Gut Feeling. Somebody's got my back on that. I love that song.
Yeah.
John Boehner had a good gut feeling going into his election as Speaker yesterday, smiling, waving, confident, going onto the House floor to be elected. John, it was a little dicey for the Speaker yesterday. He was elected, of course. However, 12 Republican members either voted against him or abstained, didn't vote for John Boehner. Now, that's the highest number in over 20 years for a Speaker election.
Ooh.
Those things are usually locked down, except one or two, you know, dissenters on the fringes. John Boehner was elected, but that first ballot, it was only one ballot, but came within 5 votes of needing a second ballot, and that would have imperiled his speakership. This is Justin Amash. He's a second-term congressman from Michigan, voted against Boehner, was reputed to be one of the ringleaders of these 12 people who didn't vote for Boehner. He denied it, but I caught up with him off the House floor yesterday about why he and other members are frustrated and staging many revolts against the Speaker. Listen.
They do this little dance every time some deadline comes up. They pretend like they're having these important meetings that are changing the world, and nothing happens. We get a deal that keeps us at status quo every time. And people back home are sick of it. And I'm sick of it. There are more than a couple dozen members who openly expressed their discontent with having the Speaker continue.
That is open discontent with the entire leadership structure there in the House. I gather that representative should worry if the elevator is going to work when he gets in it on the members only elevator.
Sure. I mean, he, you know, of course he's taking his risks by openly doing what he's doing. Look, he says a couple members are openly dissenting. They all voted for John Boehner as Speaker, and he is Speaker this morning. Again, 9 members voting against him, not enough. But it shows the difficulty going forward. It shows that John Boehner, as one member told me, is on a very short leash in the 113th Congress, John.
What does he have to deliver? Assault weapons ban? That's not likely to be popular with the Tea Party. Does he need to deliver some sort of spending reduction in entitlements? What about this whole Sandy relief business that seems to have gotten even members of the Republican caucus more angry with the leadership there in the House?
Yeah. The second thing you mentioned, entitlement cuts and spending cuts, he's under enormous pressure to deliver. That will be in the next 6 weeks as the debt limit expires, the sequester spending cuts come up. Conservatives and Tea Party members and people like Justin Amash will be putting enormous pressure on the Speaker to deliver major spending cuts. Now, on Sandy relief, a lot of people saw that kind of meltdown on the last day of the Congress there as John Boehner yanked a major Sandy funding relief bill off the floor. Members from the Northeast, including a lot of Republicans, rebelled on television. Today, John, $9 billion of that money, the flood insurance program, which is expiring within the next day or two here, that's $9 billion worth, is on the House floor. It's expected to pass easily, and the Senate will pass it by unanimous consent. Bang, bang, $9 billion of that will be passed today. It shows how quickly Congress can act when they want to. The rest of the $60 billion will be under consideration as early as January 15th. That'll be back on the House floor. They're moving with some alacrity now on Sandy funding.
So Peter King's stab in the back scars are going to heal as a result of all this? He was pretty angry.
$9 billion worth for sure, and we'll see about the rest.
And Violence Against Women Act completely stalled out. The assault weapons ban, ironically, which is back on the table, was part of that package of measures that included the Violence Against Women Act back in the middle 90s.
Everything from last week, John, has expired. The 113th Congress is new. These things all have to be reintroduced, including the Violence Against Women Act will have to go through the Senate yet again. On the assault weapons ban, I urge you to pay attention to the President's State of the Union address. I don't think we're going to see much legislatively, substantively on gun control until the President has an opportunity to frame it in prime time in front of the nation and in front of members of Congress. That should be, after his inauguration, first or second week of February. They haven't announced it yet, but that's where he'll do it.
We'll try to stay optimistic, Todd.
My gut feeling is you should. I don't know about Congress, though.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.